I draw your attention today to Colossians chapter 1 and the verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfil the word of God. Whereof I am made a minister. That's what Paul writes. And we want to consider today Paul the minister. Now Paul has already said this at the end of verse 23. Speaking about the gospel, he says, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And the I in both cases is emphatic. And he even uses his personal name in the first case. I, Paul, am made a minister. And this is a very personal section at the end of Colossians chapter 1. We have biography here. We have here a man with a deep, intense, personal conviction that he is God's man for the church and he wants us to know it. He's opening up to us, wanting us to feel this conviction that he has. Whereof I made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfil the word of God. Now there are three things that I want to consider with you as we look at this verse and as we think of Paul the minister. First of all, Paul the minister of the church, then Paul the minister of the Lord, and then Paul the minister of the word. The first thing that we consider is the name that he gives himself, the title of his office, the minister of the church. Minister for you. Every job has a name. Offices have names. And Paul has a vocation. Paul has a job. Paul has an office. And he calls himself minister. Now, Paul in his epistle uses a number of words to set forth his calling, his job description, if you like. Sometimes he calls himself an apostle. He's already done so in this epistle, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. So here he calls himself an apostle. You'll notice he doesn't give this name to Timothy. He doesn't say Timothy is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He just says, Paul, he is this, I am this, and Timothy, he is our brother. So by calling himself an apostle, he is setting forth his unique authority as one sent forth at Christ's command. You see, he has seen Christ. Paul has prophetic authority. He has the gifts and signs of an apostle. He sometimes uses that word, especially at the start of his epistles. And if his authority is questioned, he maybe refers to it a little more in other epistles, in the midst of the epistles, and not just at the start. But he doesn't have to do that to the Colossians. He doesn't have to establish his apostleship. He just writes about it in verse 1. His apostleship is not questioned at Colossae. Sometimes he calls himself the servant of Jesus Christ. A servant. And the word here is a slave. He uses this when he's writing to the Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. And the focus in this word servant is he's a slave. The focus in it is ownership. He's owned by a master. He is dedicated to that master. He was a slave before he was an apostle. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. He is one who has been redeemed, and in being redeemed, he became the property of Jesus Christ. He became his slave, his servant. And the Lord made his servant an apostle. Now, Paul liked to use this word servant or slave. And he didn't just use it of himself. He used it of all God's people. Not only preachers and ministers, but every saint is a slave. Every saint is a servant of Christ. He doesn't hesitate to use this word of Timothy and his fellow laborers the way he hesitates to use the word apostle concerning them. Philippians chapter 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants, the slaves of Jesus Christ. He uses it for the Colossian pastor. In this epistle, Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant, a slave of Christ. Epaphras is a servant, though he's not an apostle. Paul is a servant, but also an apostle. Neither Timothy or Epaphras are apostles, but they are servants, slaves of Christ. And as I said, Paul uses this to describe every Christian. You see, the truth is that in Paul's theology, all men are slaves. Every man, every woman is a slave. The unconverted are slaves to sin, but whenever men are converted, they get a new master. A good master. And they enter into different service, good service. But they are now his servants, his slaves, the servants of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, God be thanked. You were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. As ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Whenever you were unconverted, you were the slaves of sin, and all your members were given over to sin. But now that you're saved, you're the servants of Christ, and all your members should be given over to righteousness, unto holiness. Remember to the Corinthians, he wrote, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. You're redeemed. You're the servants of Christ. He has bought you. So in that sense, not only is Paul a slave or a servant, but also all the Colossian believers are as well. So it's just a description of every believer. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. This word identified with slavery, the service of a slave. You serve the Lord Christ. So he likes these words. But here, he doesn't call himself a servant. He doesn't call himself an apostle. He calls himself minister. This is a narrower description than the slave. All are slaves, all saints are slaves, but not all slaves are ministers. Epaphras is also this. In this chapter, in verse 7, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Epaphras is that as well. He's a minister. But you'll notice he's a local minister. He's your minister. He's a minister of Christ for you. And he's a faithful minister. You notice also that there's this other man at the end of the epistle in chapter 4, verse 7, Tychicus. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. So here Paul uses again the word minister and says, Tychicus is a faithful minister. I'm a minister. Tychicus is a minister. Epaphras is a minister. But he's also a fellow slave in the Lord. Not everyone is a minister. So minister is narrower than slave, but it's wider than apostle. And the emphasis in this word, minister, is service. A slave, of course, serves. Slaves serve. All God's people serve Christ. But in this word, minister, the emphasis is on service for someone or somebody. And in this case, it is the church. He's the minister of the church. So it's special service towards and for the church. He is the minister of the church. Now, not everyone is that. Paul, as we say, in this regard, puts himself on the same footing as Epaphras and Tychicus. Epaphras, who is for you, for the church, for you, the Colossian church, a faithful minister. And yet Paul's parish does not seem to be local. Notice that we're off in our text in verse 25. That connects us with the previous verse. Verse 24. And if we read that, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. This is the whole church, not just the local church, whereof I am made a minister. Now, Paul has been talking about the body of Christ, his body, his body's sake. He even emphasizes what that body is. It's the church. It's his mystical body. He is head in union with his people, head in union with all his people, with the church. And Paul is minister of the whole church, the whole body. Now that was some calling. Epaphras was the Colossians minister for you. But Paul has this conviction that he is the minister for the whole body. Now some have said he is not emphasizing his apostolic office. And in some sense that is true. It's not questioned in Colossae. He stated it in verse 1 and he doesn't have to mention it again. But I have to say, neither is he diminishing his apostolic office whenever he says he's the minister of Christ's body. That's true. And it's a ministry that goes into the apostolic office. Paul was minister of the church. Don't we have his epistles read amongst us week after week? Hasn't the church for thousands of years been preaching and expounding the writings of this minister that Christ gave unto them? So Paul's writings even have come to us, to all Christian congregations. We have the Colossians epistle, because the Lord Jesus Christ has given it to us. And so he is the minister of the church. In verse 23, he is minister of the gospel. And here he is minister of the church. This is the job description of the church's pastors. They're ministers. They're servants of the body. They're not lords. They don't lord it. They're not after promotion and to get higher and higher and higher. They're not interested, as it were, in authority. Any authority they have is Christ's authority. But they do not think of it as their lordship over. They are under lordship. They're ministers of the church, not lords. The lordship is Christ's lordship. They do not administer lordship. They serve the body. A minister is a servant of the church. We might paraphrase verse 25, speaking about Christ's body, which is the church. We might say, I have become its servant. And so he sees himself as a humble servant of the body. He exists to minister to its needs, to help it, and if needs be, to suffer for it. And this he has done, as he says in verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. He stresses again this ministry, this service, who it's for in verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, for your benefit, for your sakes, for their good, for the good of the church. That's not for his own glory. Remember how he said to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, for we preach not ourselves. We're not into self-promotion. We're not into self-exaltation. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, do you want to know what ourselves are? Ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. He's a servant of the people of God. When did Paul get this idea of his job description? Why does he see things this way? Well, let me suggest he obtained this view of ministry, this conception of his work. He received this view of his work from his Lord, from the Saviour himself, from the Lord's own example and teaching. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ set this forth in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. The context. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they came to the Lord Jesus. They said, Master, we want you to do something for us. And the Lord Jesus, he looked at them. He says, What would you want that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit. We want to sit. That doesn't sound like wanting to serve. We want to sit, one on the right hand, the other on the left. We want to be sitters on chairs of prominence. The ten began to hear about this. They were not pleased. The Lord Jesus saw the friction that was amongst them. And he called them to him and he said to them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And their great ones, the great ones in the kingdoms, the great ones among the Gentiles, they exercise authority over them. The great ones are lords. The great ones are authoritative. The great ones sit and rule. But it'll not be among you. Not in my kingdom, not in my church, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. This is where Paul gets it from. Your minister. Whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. And that's the teaching of Christ. And Paul wants to obey that. And Paul knows what it is to be a minister. And the Lord Jesus closed that discourse to his disciples with these wonderful words. Even the Son of Man, and he's the greatest of all, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many, for his body, for the church, to give himself for the church, to serve the church. He came to be the minister. And Paul knows this. And Paul wants to be Christ-like in his ministry. He wants to follow the Lord, and he serves the church, ministering to its needs, bringing to its table the food and the edification, bringing to the body the comfort that the distressed need and the sorrowful need, he comes to serve in the lifting up of the dejected. He comes to serve in the opening of the eyes of the blind and the leading of them so that they do not fall into pits. He comes as those to lead the lame back into the way, to serve, to help them, to protect them, to hedge them and fence them with the truth. He's the minister of the church. The second thing is that this ministry, this service that he has received, he has received it by commission from God. He is the minister of God. That's what he says here. Ralph, I made a minister of the church. It is according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. So he has become this servant. He has been made this minister of the church. How come? He's telling the Colossians, it's according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me. Now this is very important. The dispensation of God. This word has to do with stewardship, with his commission. The stewardship of God, we could translate it. Now the word occurs a number of times in the Bible. It occurs a number of times in the Lord's parable of the accused steward in Luke chapter 16, the certain rich man which had a steward. And the same, that is the steward, was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Here's a steward who has these allegations hanging over him of having wasted the Lord's property, wasted the Lord's goods, the Lord's gifts. And the king has come and called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. And that's the same word. The steward was to look after the house. He was the administrator of the home. In cases where the home was a large estate. And there was the family and there were the servants. There was all the property and all the goods. All this life of activity and responsibility. And the steward was given the task to administer the household, the whole estate. And this word, dispensation, stewardship, is a compound word. In the Greek, it's made up of the word house and the verb to distribute. Dispense. The dispensation. And so the house had slaves and family and property and food and goods and possessions, and the steward was to dispense all throughout the house to see that it all runs smoothly, that the house was in good order, that there were no shortfalls, no hurts to anybody, that everybody's welfare was seen to, the welfare of the persons, the welfare of the goods, all maintained. It was hard work. It was very, very responsible work. The good of the house, that was the steward's concern. And the good of the house, for their good, yes, but especially because it was the master's house. And that's how Paul views the church, not only as a body of Christ, but also as a house of God, of which he's a minister and steward, given this stewardship by God over it. To Timothy he wrote, if I tarry, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. You're a steward, Timothy. You're in the house of God, and you need to know how to behave yourself and how to be a good steward. The house of God, this isn't a building. This isn't brick and mortar, as it were, in some city. No, this house is the church of the living God. And by saying this dispensation he has from God, he is magnifying not just his care and love for the church. Not his care and love for the church. He's not magnifying that. He's magnifying God's care for the church. He has made me the steward of the body because he cares for the church. In a sense, he is taking away the credit for himself and making sure that it all goes to God. He doesn't want people to think, oh, that's nice, Paul, such a good man. He cures, he's a curing minister. He's a capable and good minister. You really cure, Paul. You're really kind. You do all this loving service. No, Paul doesn't do that. He doesn't magnify himself. Yes, he says, I suffer for you. I serve you. But I don't want you to be all taken up with me as if I'm Mr. Bigheart. He says, I do it because it's been given to me by my master. I'm the minister of the Lord. And yes, while I do care for you and I love you and I do my best for you, it's really my master that cares for you. You know, there's so much goes on in a big house. It's easy to be irritated. It's easy to be annoyed by people. It's easy to be knocked out of joint by people. And sometimes it's hard to love people. But the minister has to love them all. Has to care for them all. Hard or not. Whatever the difficulties and the personalities. Because his master loves them all. And he's to look after them for his master's sake. I serve you. I suffer for you. But it's the Lord's care for you. It's been given to me for you. God loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to be looked after. He wants you to have the truth. He wants you to receive the benefits of the word. He wants you to be hedged and comforted and built up. And I serve to that end because that's what my Lord wants. And I endeavor to care for you. But it's my master's care for you that drives me. And Paul wants the Colossians to know that. He wanted the Corinthians to know the very same thing. Writing to the Corinthians in chapter 4, 1 Corinthians, he said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That's what he wants them to know. You look upon us, not as lords, but as ministers of Christ and stewards who are to dispense the word of God among you, the mysteries. And moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's the main thing, that a steward is faithful. Now, he should try to care, but his main focus is to be faithful. Now, a minister is not praiseworthy in himself. His care, to whatever extent he has it, is of the Lord. And in that sense, he magnifies Christ. It's been dispensed to me, this stewardship. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? Ministers. That's all. Ministers by whom you believed. Even as the Lord gave to every man. The Lord gave the faith. The Lord gave the grace. We're just ministers. By whom you believed. He magnifies the Lord when he says he's a minister. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6. Who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament. He's made us able. Ministers should be caring. Ministers should have ability. But they cure because God cures. And they have that ability because God gives it to them. A minister does not and cannot magnify his cure. It's not about his cure, it's about God's cure. That is why a church without a minister should be very concerned. Because the Lord gives pastors and teachers, he gives ministers to his church. It's his care for the church that causes him to do that. And if churches aren't getting ministers, what's happening? Is the Lord displeased? Is the Lord grieved? Why is he not showing us his care? And they should be concerned, and the churches should say, Lord, show us your care. We want to be cared for, Lord. We want to feel your care. Give us a minister. And so he gives her stewards, and the church ought not to be without a minister. And so a vacant church should not rest until God's care to them is manifested in a faithful minister. Now we come to the third thing in the verse. His primary concern is minister. He's minister of the church, he's steward, he's dispenser in God's house, but what is it that he primarily dispenses? What's his main concern? What does he say? Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfil the word of God. Now, first of all, his stewardship centres around the word of God. He's a minister of Christ, he's a minister of the church, but he's also the minister of the word, of the gospel, as he puts it in verse 23. This gospel which you've heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So he is to dispense the word. He's a steward of the mysteries of God, the word of God. He's a minister of the word. And all three ideas are inseparable in this office. The minister of Christ in his church is the minister of the word. And so he exists to fulfill the word of God, not to party, not to amuse, not to, as it were, be a great socializer. No, he is the minister of the word. The word is what he deals in and deals with. And the word is the treasury. The steward had the treasury that he could take from to dispense to the household all that it needed. And the word is the treasury of the minister of Christ. What did the Lord Jesus say about the kingdom stewards? Matthew 13, verse 52. Every scribe instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. The minister is the scribe, the householder, the steward, and he has this treasure. There's a treasure. The householder brings out of the treasure, and the scribes is like unto a man that is an householder, and he brings out of the treasure words. That's what a scribe is interested in, words. Writing words. Getting the words of God, writing the words of God, recording the words of God, passing on the words of God. That's the scribe's business. And so for the scribe, the treasure is words, words of God. And all his labour and all the scribe's skill and all his talents and all his abilities are for words, for drawing these words out, for getting them out of the treasury, the words new and the words old, and dispensing it to the people. The treasure is God's word. What does the psalmist say? The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Or Psalm 119, verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. That's what the word of God is. It's gold. It's fine gold. It's a treasure. It's a spoil. It's riches. It's a treasury. And the steward is given to take from that treasury and to bring it to the whole house. That's what it's about. Minister of the word. This comes out especially in Paul's pastoral epistles. He says this. This serving the church, this ministering, but it's always in the word for them. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, And when he's writing to Timothy, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Timothy's a minister of the word. I used to put the brethren in remembrance of all these things. And if he's not nourishing them up in the words of faith, he's not being a good minister. Doesn't matter what else he's good at. He is to be committed and dedicated and set apart to be a man of God who nourishes them up in the words of faith. The church needs stewards, ministers of the word. In the second epistle to the same person, Timothy, chapter 4, verse 2, he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching. This is the word of God. This is how he is to use it, to apply it, to draw out. With words of reproof, with words of rebuke, with words of exhortation, to do it patiently, but to teach them with the words of God. He tells them why. There's going to come the time. They'll not endure sound teaching. They'll not want it. After their own lusts, they'll heap up to themselves other kinds of teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth. And Timothy, you cannot set up an environment where that easily takes place. And so don't you be giving them anything else. Don't you be tickling their ears. Or creating some other kind of environment where the word is not central and important. You preach the word. You be instant in season and out of season. Watch thou. Make full proof of your ministry. Now the other thing about this ministry of the word is that the minister is to fulfill it. To fulfill the word of God. The ministry is about being faithful first and foremost to God. And Paul's main concern is faithfulness, to carry out this fulfilling, to fulfill or complete the word of God. In other words, his concern is to get all of God's word out, to make fully known the gospel, to declare all the counsel of God, to get it all out to all the people. Remember how he said to the Ephesians, the elders there, he says, I kept back nothing that was profitable. I didn't hold anything back. I declared the word. I've showed you, I've taught you publicly and from house to house, holding nothing back. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, to fulfill the word of God. So his main concern is not so much to be known as a caring, loving, able, eloquent minister. It is to be faithful to God. And in being faithful to God, of course, he is being faithful to them. Faithfulness to God is indispensable from fulfilling the word of God. And so he writes to the Corinthians and says, we are stewards of the mysteries of God, ministers of Christ. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so Paul is an administrator or steward, minister of the word, but he is faithful, loyal, and a trusted one. And in the one great matter of the word of God. And Paul is saying, that's why you can believe me. That's why you can believe me when I tell you of Christ's fullness. When I warn you of the errors and heresies that would add to Christ or take away from Christ. I want you to know that when I tell you of the fullness of him, I want you to know that I'm the steward. I'm the steward not only to Colossae, but to the body, to the whole church. And you can believe me. And Paul is steward not only to the church in his day, but the church in our day. The church of which you and I are members. We have his epistles. He's a minister to the Gentiles. He's a minister to us in these words. And this epistle, which you have, and his other epistles, are God's word. He wrote them. He wrote them as the minister of the church. He wrote them as the minister of Christ. He wrote them as the minister of the word. And they are faithful and true. And we can bless God for the faithfulness of Paul to us Gentiles in giving us this epistle and all his epistles. We can bless God, for we have the word of God. And Paul has fulfilled his vocation, and he has given to us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the grace of Jesus Christ, he's given to us the word of God. And we come to this epistle as God's word, and we want to be nourished and edified and built up by means of it in the days to come. And may it be so through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.